Right, shall we get into some questions? Is there anything else we need to catch up on?
No, I think that should be... I feel like we've spoke about like everything that's important.
Yeah, question time. Training, we've covered.
Should we do a quick bit about shows for clients? We've had a few clients on. So, yeah, I'll go first. I've had, in the last few weeks, Finn's been in athlete mode, but I've been in just coach mode.
I've been in athlete and coach mode.
Yeah, I've just been in coach mode, really. So I've had a fair few clients on stage. We had Catherine towards the latter end. I think the last podcast we would have done, Catherine would have been on stage, got second in our first show. Second show didn't really go as well planned. It was untested. She's natural, so I mean... God, that's the reason why.
She's a winner anyway.
Yeah, she's a winner anyway. She's going to live longer than the people who are on gear. So, well done, Catherine. But really, really good look. Really good project. We're now into an off-season, which is good. After that, it was the UKDFBA. So, it was Gulliver and Musa. Picked up second and third, respectively. That was their first shows of the season. They're on stage this weekend. And then, since then, Connor had two shows. Connor Flanagan, which I think we did one. I think it was after the FitEx or whatever, and we spoke about Connor. Because I remember him mentioning, he was like, oh, thanks for the mention on the podcast. So, yeah, Connor won. He got second in the FitEx juniors, then got second in the Open, and then picked up first at the NFM in the juniors, first in NFM in the Open, won like a pro title, which is quite cool in the way like they actually select it. They don't just give it to the winners. Like if you're good enough, he was the only guy at Men's Physique who got the pro title, so he went into the pro show and then got second in the pro show by a split decision for first, which was a bit frustrating because the guy that won, like, he had more muscle mass than him. Like, he was a guy who's on gear and he looked really good. But then additionally to that, it's like Connor's a natty 22-year-old, and it's like when he's got better shape and it's a by one point, it's like a little bit frustrating. Yeah. And it would have been mint if he had won everything, but that gives us things to chase. So he's on stage. Good. Yeah, he looks mint. He's on stage this weekend, PCA London. And then I had Finley Roberts, win the whole show. So I don't know if you can see the sword, but me and Finley are going to have a sword fight. That's what it is. There's a sword to the side. So Finley won the overall, which is like pretty bizarre because I don't think he didn't expect it. I didn't expect it. I don't think anyone did. Like, Finley looks really good, but like, and I'll be the first one to say, like, it's completely unorthodox prep. Like, it's not been your standard, yeah bro, let's just do this and everything goes to plan. It's been very much a case where I said to you, like, I felt like I was playing chess the final week or two, where every decision I was making, it was like, okay, this is what's going to happen, but then how's this going to affect this? And it was just a little bit, not of a mess. I said this to him, I was like, it's not your orthodox sort of approach, but I can work with it. And of having a coach, I've worked with him for 20 months, like 22 months. If I couldn't trust myself to understand how he works as a person at this point, I'd really question, am I actually good at what I do?
Yeah.
So yeah, really, really happy. Beat Ethan in the juniors. Ethan looked really good, to be fair. Like, I was really impressed with Ethan. So shout out Ethan. I don't know if you still watch these, mate. You might not. I mean, he said to me when he left me that he would still watch them. But he doesn't put any story tags anymore. So I think probably he's not allowed to.
Because we don't put any episodes out.
Yeah, so yeah, Ethan looked really good. So the top two in that class. I completely forgot to mention Pat. Pat competed the weekend before as well. He did the PCA. Shout out, Pat got fourth in a British Farmers invite. And he's peeled now. He's really, really lean. He's just a natty junior as well. So he's doing FitEx. So sorry, Pat, I completely forgot.
All these natties that Reese puts in PCA and FitEx.
I secretly just kind of...
They're not natty, are they?
3 days before, I'm just like, super draw? Yeah. A bit of Anavar. But yeah, with Finley, it was the Men's Physique lineup. Top three was that Matchy, you know, Tim's guy, like Macheo, it's MM, I'm going to call him. He's in really good condition. And then second was Ethan, and then first was Finley. So Finley took the win in the juniors, went into the overall, and it was Matt LeMay, who watches all the podcasts. And I said to him that he'd be cool to get on. So Matt, win your pro card, please, mate. And then we'll get you on. Before then, like, I mean, you've only
then
got,
we
like,
can put IFBB Pro.
Yeah, you've only got like 4,000 followers, bro. So I don't know how many he's got. You might have more. But yeah, Matt, get your pro card, then we'll get you on. So that's the rule. We'll get a pro card, and then we'll get you on. Bring the pro card. But Finley beat you, mate. So Finley's going to get a pro card before. Finley's going to be a pro before. But no, Finley won the overall. I said to Finley, like, if it was like a two-bro show, I think Matt would have beat him. But from the side, I think Finley's posing was really good for PCA. And that front shot with both hands on his waist is like a G-code. Legitimately overpowered. Like, it's one of those where it's so strong. And the exciting thing for Finley is, like I said, he's not 100%. And to win an overall in his like first like proper outing, he's competed before, but I don't class that. Like, I classed him as like a first timer. And for him to do what he's done already is really, really good. So we've got a FitEx show that we're doing PCA finals. Connor will be qualifying for PCA finals this weekend, unless there's no, he will qualify. I'll imagine they'll get PCA qualification, that's for sure. We're aiming to pretty much get into the overall with Connor, so hopefully that goes to plan. And then Josh is on stage next weekend. I've got like 4 to 6 people on stage like for the next 2 weekends, which is pretty exciting. So that's all like the enhanced guys
who are
natural.
That's what it's been like for me recently.
Yeah, they're all natural, most of them, bar a few, but they're just doing enhanced shows because
they're not really natural.
Yeah, they're not. Like I said, Anadrol and just Anavar like a few days before.
Vibes.
Yeah, and vibes. And they're just saying, oh, I'm natty when they don't win.
When did I last speak about clients?
It would have been the 14th, so it was after the A1. So you had Niall. We didn't speak about Niall or whatever. So Niall won his...
Did we not?
So, I don't think so. No, like mention that.
I'm sure we did. So at the A1, we must have spoken about it. If we didn't, sorry, Niall. But Niall won the junior class at the A1 and looked really, really good. Beat Jacob as well. Shout out to Jacob. That's his second shout out for this episode.
Jacob, we're really trying to like
just trying to shout you out.
Yeah, we're really trying to like lure you in.
Yeah,
coaching slots available.
Yeah, right. But no, Niall looked really good, and that was a good win. And then even in the overall, Niall looked really, really good.
Yeah,
he was smashing the crab as he loves his crab.
Best crab on the stage.
Yeah, best crab I've ever seen. Yeah. So that was really cool. And then the weekend after, I don't think there was a show.
No.
There was the BMBF. Yeah, there was, I think, actually. It was the BMBF Midlands. I think that was that weekend. Maybe it was the weekend after. But either way, we had Jack Morgan, so JPMVMT, in the novice class at the BMBF Midlands. And he won. And that was a really, really good win.
JP does look very good.
He is very good.
Yeah.
So
thick, dense, round, full.
That was a really good win. Yeah, that was very good. Got him into the overall. And he got beat by the guy... Who did he get beat by in the Midlands overall? Oh, Sam. Yeah, Sam Lowe. Very, very good. So he was, he's very, very good. But Jack looked awesome. We know we needed to be leaner for the next show. We were planning on maybe not then doing the BMBF Northern, just based on the fact that he'd already qualified. But he was like, I want to do it. There's a lot of FK like clients doing it. So he was like, and obviously I was doing it. He was like, I want to do it with everyone, with the team. So we did that, and that was fine. And we got him a bit leaner for that show. And then he still won that one as well, which was awesome. And that was a much closer battle as well, because the guy in second was really, really good. But Jack just beat him on conditioning, which was awesome, because you know usually with BMBF, they do favour a bit of a bigger, fuller look. But Jack had like the whole package and won that. And that was the show where I had loads of people in it. So that was where I came second. That was where Josh won the teen class. Again, in a very good class. Like, there was an absolute freak of a teen in that class, like size-wise.
The guy that finished second, his quads.
Yeah,
went,
mate.
Like, if he was inside out, like, I'm not going to... I don't know about shape. I wasn't there.
It wouldn't have been
but
Josh, but...
His quads
would
have beat Josh.
No, mate, yeah. His quads would have beat anyone's.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I literally saw a photo from, like, I think someone in the crowd. And I, like, looked at it and I was like... What? Like, I thought the camera had blurry,
like, yeah,
because he literally
class...
stood there and his quads were just out here. I was stupid.
For a teen class, it was like a good junior class almost, like, especially the top two. Even the third guy was pretty good for like very good for a teen. He'd win most teen shows. Yeah. Like. So Josh won that, which was awesome. Jack won again that day. Then we had Niall in the lightweights and he ended up coming third, which he wasn't happy with, but was a really good result. Like the top two were good. It was a decent class. And yeah, Niall was just a bit better in the day show than the night show. So, you know, we've spoken about what we can do better there. But he looked really, really good. Then we had Millie and Izzy in figure. And that was an awesome result. Izzy came second, Millie came third. Xena won, and Xena, fair play, looked great. Ultimate. Millie wasn't too happy with that, which is understandable, but she's then improved a hell of a lot since. She just needed to be a bit leaner, and also, you know, we know for a fact that she's not really got the same level of muscle through her quads than the girls that beat her have, and that's
and also,
why she
I think
got beat.
A bit of maturity, like in her physique, like she looked young in comparison to Z.
That's more so just the lower body, though.
Yeah.
From the upper body,
yeah,
she didn't.
No,
upper
no,
body,
no.
She was great. It's literally just her quads, and we know that. But we knew that wouldn't be as much of an issue in PCA, which I'll come on to in a minute. Yeah. So yeah, Izzy came second, which was great. Millie came third, and then it was me in second. So we had Josh and Jack in the overall, which was great. Really cool to get like some photos of those two together in the overall. And then, like I say, the guy that beat me ended up winning the overall. That was like a It was quite a good overall, to be fair, because there wasn't like one guy that you'd go, yeah, he's definitely won. But the medium weight or the middleweight guy just had like a better overall package compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
Then after that, we had what date are we on now? What date were we on then? So that was when I then decided, okay, it was then the UK, the FBA, Southern. Yeah. I don't think we've had a show between then.
No.
So it was the UK, the FBA, Southern, where it was just me and Jack. So JPM, VMT won again, so that's 3-3. That was a bit of a different peak, or we didn't really peak. We just like trickled down, and I didn't overly push him. Like, we didn't dig as such, but we got a good few pounds lighter, a good few pounds leaner, got his glutes in a little bit more, because again, you know, in terms of federations, we know what they're going to favour a little bit more, UK FBA versus BMBF. And then they ended up winning that in a very good lineup, to be fair. So that was a really, really good win. And then I, like I said, obviously earlier, came third in Classic, came second in the medium. And then we had last weekend, which was two shows on the same day. So it was the Fitex Leicester in the morning, which was obviously lucky that it was in Leicester because I live 20-30 minutes away. So we had Remy in the bikini first timers, so she came fourth, which is annoying, bless her, because she would have come third, but then a girl turned up late and then they let her in the class and then she took Remy's spot in the top three. So that was a shame, but Remy still looked great for her first time on stage. It was really good experience for her. You could tell she was a bit nervous and everything, which is expected when it's your first time. So that's the whole point of a first timer show, is get those nerves out of the way, you know, understand the process, get to grips with what it's like backstage and all those kind of things. So that was really good, and I was actually really, really happy with how she looked. And Remy's conducted herself like really well throughout the prep. She knows that in the long term she just needs more muscle, and that's fine, that's part of bodybuilding. And then it was a quick drive over in the Stang to the PCA Midlands, which was or PCA Birmingham, which was good because obviously there's a lot of people there that were competing that we knew. I saw Reese there, obviously had Sam there, Sam George Media, shout out to Sam, who was filming for Tom. But yeah, Millie was on literally like as I got there. She just finished her, I think it was probably third call outs. It was quite a big class. They just finished third call outs. Millie was in first call outs, and Will Bertolini was keeping me updated. So thank you, Will.
Will was in coach mode. I was in
Lewis Hamilton mode. Yeah. But yeah, Millie looked like awesome. So much better than the week before, or 2 weeks before it was, sorry.
PCA
so,
lighting tax.
No, it was more so the in the space of 2 weeks, we pulled off like a good amount. Yeah. I think
you said it was like £7, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think she was 138, if I'm not mistaken, for the BMBF. And then the lowest we got down to was 130.
Yeah.
Before the... She was lighter than that. I think her lowest was like 136 before the BMBF. Then her lowest for the PCA was 130. And her legs came in quite a lot, and they needed to, like, because she's not got that much muscle there, so we needed to actually show off some condition there. And her upper body just sharpened up and looked better for it. Didn't fill her up too much, to be honest, because she's got that much muscle through her upper body that we didn't need to. So it was a very moderate kind of peak. Similar kind of thing for the UK FBA this weekend, a very moderate peak. And then, you know, once you're leaner and fresher, you can sort of push that fullness more so towards the back end of the prep. So things like the WMBF, which is like 5.5 weeks away. So that's the plan really for Millie. But she came third in a class of 10, and she messaged me backstage and she was like, my class is a joke. And I put, is it busy? And she put like, I think she said like 13 girls. So obviously it must not have been 13 in the end because it was only 10, but she put something like 13 girls and not any, like not one weak link. And there wasn't really, like, if you were to look at them all, just stood that they were all very good. Yeah. Like, it was a ridiculous standard of a class, and she came third as a natty in a PCA show.
She's done BMBF.
The girl that won is natty as well, so fair play to her. I can't remember his name. Abby or I followed her. Abby Kerr, I think her name is, and she looks great. The girl that came second,
I feel like
was...
I've seen her around before. I don't know where. I
didn't know who she was.
I follow her, but I don't
shout
know.
Out to her though.
She looks really good. Yeah.
The girl that came second was a joke, but I think she was just a bit too big for the class, but she was really good.
Yeah.
But Millie looked awesome, so we're really happy with that because we made massive improvements in 2 weeks, and Millie was buzzing.
It's nice that, you know, when you make like big strides forward and like someone improves, and like, it's like, I feel like sometimes in a prep, especially for a first timer, like you almost sometimes get to a point where it's like you're not really getting better, even body weight comes down. But when you make big improvements and they've still got gears to shift into, it's like, yeah, here we go. This is good.
That was really good.
Yeah.
So I was buzzing with that result. And that was a really good day. It was a busy day. And then also it was Shannon's birthday the day after. So me and Shannon then went shopping.
So that was turned on boyfriend mode.
Turned on boyfriend mode after I'd been in coach mode, yeah. No, it was good. It was a really good day. So yeah, the plan is now this weekend. We've got the Heart of England, which would have been a much busier show. But obviously I'm not doing it, so it's a lot more chilled. Alex isn't doing it. I think I had maybe
Alex. Was Alex going to do it?
I'm sure I had someone else that was going to do it. Yeah. Maybe it wasn't Alex.
I've got Sandeep in this one. Yeah. After the probably the most peeled man alive when it comes to he'll probably be the most conditioned at the show. Well, he'll for men's physique, I'd imagine. Him and Jack Hattersley, I reckon, will be the two leaders.
Yeah. He does look good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got Josh, Millie and Remy in the UKDFBA Heart of England this weekend.
Yeah.
And then obviously we've got other shows. We won't go into all of those. So
that's
the plan.
A little show wrap up. Do you want to end that as a part, or do you want to go into question? I reckon that could be a part. Like maybe
we can let Sam do what he likes.
Yeah. I reckon that could be like section two, like client catch up. Shout out to all Team R Fit and FK clients. See you later.
Nah, I don't think we should do that. Just let Sam. I reckon just let Sam whenever. I reckon once we've got the whole. Yeah. Once we've got it all, just split it up.
Okay. Question time.
Yeah, I'll clap. Sam, we're gonna do questions now.
Hello, people. We're now onto the questions. This is part three, potentially.
It doesn't matter about the part.
It doesn't really matter, yeah. So basically, we haven't done any questions in quite a long while. And we haven't done like a rate your physiques in quite a long while. So I feel like next time, maybe another time like after, because we'll probably have a few more questions to get back to. But we'll do a off-season rate your physiques. Like, that'd be quite cool, actually, once all preps are done. Like, you know, finals are ticked off and everyone's just fat in their off-season. And what would be good if we did, like, a special episode, like, rate your post-show, like, reversals. Like, right, we've got to rate them. Like, so you've got to tell us when you competed and where you're at now. We've got to judge, like, your bell end rating of you definitely enjoyed a few cookie dealers, bro. Yeah. You are, like, you see somebody and they're, like, dieting 2 months after their prep and you're like... Yeah, let's be real, bro. Did you eat too much? Like, let's just be honest. So that would be quite good. Like a rate your physique special, bell end binge
post-show edition.
Post show binge eating edition. Anyway, don't know how we got onto that. How many questions you got, mate? You got a few?
Trying to find them.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I got quite a lot though.
Well, okay, I've got one. So first bit goes.
You got one?
No, I've got just one. Yeah. No, I've got one to say on the podcast. So it starts off. Rip Neil Curry. So yeah, rip Neil Curry. Like this isn't actually about Neil, but I don't really know. So yeah, but like sad, like really, really sad to be fair. So our thoughts, once you're in your collective thoughts, go out to Neil, friends, family, loved ones. It's a shit situation, isn't it? And then he put thoughts on Ian Valliere retiring early, and do you think about when you'll stop BB? So
good question.
It's a good question. I don't really know about the rip Neil. Maybe he's just saying that as like a
just as a comment out there.
So thoughts on Ian Valliere retiring? I think like full credit to him. I think
I've not watched the video, but I've
got a good understanding.
Yeah,
of it.
I thought I kind of understood that he's retiring from people commenting on his Instagram post that I saw. But
yeah,
I don't know his reasoning behind it. I do feel like we should like watch more things like that, but we don't really have the time to.
I feel like as well how we are like. I don't want this to be a bodybuilding news.
No,
like,
it doesn't need to
be. No, it's not. Like, from what I can gather from it, like, from... I think there's probably a part of it where, like, he's probably trying to enjoy his life a bit. He's taking and pushing his body to... He's taking a lot of gear. He's pushing his body. He's not getting really better. Like, and there's people, like, for example, him and Nick 4 years ago, were on, like, a level... And like even Samson, he was ahead of him 2 years ago.
He's probably been on the cusp of winning the Olympia for like the last 8 years.
And he's
or
just
something.
Slowly,
he's never been anywhere
and he's
near
slowly
it.
Falling back. His physique isn't responding as well. And there's people that are just getting better and better and better. And like Ian's like an elite bodybuilder. Like he could win most pro shows that he turns up to. If he was to turn up to any UK pro show, you'd be like, "Oh, Ian's probably going to win that," like or something like that. Or any
like
he won the Toronto.
A lot
pro.
Of times he's. Missed his peak
yeah.
a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's probably due to stress, how he probably is as an individual.
Putting too much pressure on himself.
Yeah, like I saw his posing routine at the Olympia last year and he didn't even know what he was doing almost, which is, for an Olympian, a bit strange. But when he poses it like the Toronto Pro, or like his shows previously, he looks like everything's fine. So I think it's probably one of those situations where he's probably reassessed
putting
and thought...
Putting that much pressure on
putting,
like,
yeah, so much
to
pressure,
win an Olympia.
Doing this, doing that. And it's like, if you're missing the mark, and like he is young, he's 32, and I think from like a spec, this is where it's a shame. From a spectatorship standpoint, he's on Fuad's Bodybuilding and Bollocks and all that. And people
he's a
Ian.
Big name. Isn't he?
People will go, "Oh, Ian retiring." But I think, so from a spectatorship standpoint, it's a shame because you want to see the best bodybuilders. You want to see people that also seem like quite genuine dudes. But additionally to that, as Ian, as an actual person, I'm like, more credit to you. Like, it's actually nice to see, instead of him pushing his body, getting worse and worse potentially, not improving, and just literally getting to the point where he's 36, 37, doesn't have any Olympias to show for himself, and he's probably in a much,
taking
much
10 years
worse,
off his life,
yeah,
or more.
Worse, yeah, probably more. We're in a far worse position, because again, like, he's getting to that point where it's like, in my opinion, if I was in my 30s not improving, I'd be like, why the hell am I doing this? Yeah. Like, what am I going to get out of this? So, like, my direct thoughts, I'm like, full credit to him as an individual. From a spectator perspective, it's a bit of like, ah, oh, it's a shame. But full credit to him,
but
to actually calling it.
We're not anyone to, yeah, like, decide whether, yeah, or not he should carry on, like, no, or even give our opinion.
No.
At the end of the day, it's his decision, isn't it? And
do you think about when you'll stop bodybuilding?
Yeah, I think in the natural realm, if you like, you probably, if you look at some of the best natural bodybuilders, they're usually like in their mid-30s, even,
yeah,
potentially,
yeah,
even
late
30s. So I think, like, oh, I've still got ages to just keep improving. And like I always say, like, I've got so much room to grow and improve naturally, yeah, still, which is cool and exciting. Like, that's based on time, that's just based on potential, that's based on, you know, the fact that I know I can get a lot stronger and all these kind of things. So doesn't really come to mind, like, it's not as if it's in the forefront of my mind, like, right, I'll probably stop in 2 years or like anything, no, like that. It's just like, when I get to a point where I'm either not enjoying it or I'm not getting any better, then I'll probably stop. Like, yeah, and when I say stop, I won't,
like,
stop training or stop eating, yeah, or anything. I'll just probably not compete anymore, but do what I'm doing anyway and like kind of live the same
live
lifestyle.
In an off season, but you probably not push body weight up. Just live, yeah, to the point where you fuel your training sessions.
Wouldn't be
feel
much
good.
Different.
Yeah.
To be honest, it would
you
just
do your
be
cardio because you want to feel better.
I don't do a prep,
yeah,
and I don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, competes in the Masters and things like that. Like, unless I was a really good Masters,
yeah.
Like, and that's not any disrespect to anybody who does Masters, like, but
I think the second you look worse than what you've looked at before, that would be like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So
I think,
like, if
I
I'm competing
so.
At 45 and I'm like, I looked way better at
30, then yeah,
I'm done. Like, yeah, that would be it. Like, that's it for me.
Yeah, I think when you can't get any better or you're noticing that you're not getting any better,
yeah,
leave it at that. Yeah. And I'll probably take up, you know, a little bit more of my time will be taken up playing other sports and
golf.
More time with family, yeah, playing
lunch,
golf and things like that.
In golf.
Yeah.
Coming will. Soon. Yeah.
Jake Byers, do sponsors, Conte and CMP, pay yous, or is it just through free products?
Depends on who you're with. Depends on the package.
Depends on how good your package is.
Yeah, depends on how good your package is. Depends, really. For me, it's supplements and, like, how much I make off sales as a salary.
For me, I get a certain amount each month that, yeah, I'm allowed to order.
Yeah, so it's like, but that being said, like, you get some that's, like, strict. Some people, it's like, you get a discount, like, off, you get unlimited supplements based off a percent of what you sell.
Depends if you're an athlete,
yeah,
or an affiliate, or like, depends on numerous different things.
Some you get like free products.
There's not just one rule fits all. It's not like everyone that's sponsored by CMP gets the exact same. Like,
no.
That's not the case.
No.
Like, it's the same with, if you think of it as like a football team.
Yeah.
They're not all paid the same.
No.
Like, it depends on what you bring to that team.
Yeah, yeah. And I've just been recently offered Saudi money. That's what it is.
Yeah.
See you later. I'm going to Revive in, imagine in Canada. Doesn't like that. I've just been bought out. Right, Bailey Doggett has asked. Shout out Bailey.
Met him at the BNBF.
Have you? Oh,
yeah.
Did you? Was he a nice guy?
Yeah. It's
seems nice. Like
no,
a nice
it was
chap,
horrible.
Isn't he?
It was horrible.
Oh, it was
horrible.
Bailey, I'm not answering your question.
Really horrible to me.
On the prime leg extension, how should the load be divided between the three pins? Well, Bailey, where's it placed in the session, bro? It really depends. Like, you could really, in theory, you could close your eyes, put the plates on it, probably feels all right. Or
I had
you
this
could
conversation
go,
with a client
best.
The other day, and he was sort of saying, like, oh, mate, with the prime, exactly what should I be doing? Because I don't think this feels good, how he had it set up. And I was like, change it then. So, yeah, if it's not feeling good, how you've got it currently set up, then manipulate
change
it. But, yeah, like Reese was saying, it's going to depend on where you have it in the session. What I actually would say is, if you want to just keep things really, really simple, just load all the prime kit in the mid-range.
Yeah.
You can't really go wrong. And if you want to make it more difficult in a certain range, then just pause there.
I usually say to clients, like, just let's just load it in the middle point until we need to add more plates,
yeah,
elsewhere.
I often say that.
And, like, eventually you'll probably get to a point where, like, you might need to change it, but usually they can get a real good runway. And then you might take the exercise,
yeah,
out or swap where it is in the session anyway.
I'd do that with, like, the pressing kit. I'll say, let's start off in the mid-range.
Yeah.
And then when we get to a point where you're stalling a little bit on it, will then manipulate it. And usually if it's early on in the session, like the first set, we'll add a little bit more in the shortened range as well, or the end range.
The only thing I'd say on this is just make sure, like, when you do select a bit of kit like this, like, keep it consistent, because the amount of times that, like, people, like, they'll
change
band
it every week.
Every week they're reverse banding and they're doing a different setup. Or every week they're like, I'm doing this because of this. It's like, just pick something that feels pretty all right and then just progress it for, like, 10 weeks.
What I'd say as well,
you'll probably notice your quads grow.
The easiest way to assess it would be film the set. So on any of the prime equipment, film the set and watch your last few reps.
Yeah.
Is your concentric speed slowing down? So are you basically slowing down towards the end of the set, the positive section of the rep, you know, when you're trying to contract?
If it just dies.
So for example, on the leg extension, like, are the last few reps getting slower and slower, or is it just like, it's moving, dead, it's moving, it's moving, there's nothing? Then you probably need to manipulate the profile, because you want to have that slow progression as you approach failure. On any exercise, you should notice that your concentric speed is slowing down. That's how you know you're actually getting closer to concentric failure. Alfie Devine, how much muscle do you think you've gained compared to 2020? Well, none, because I was 170 pounds. Like, I was, my lightest was 166, but I competed at 170 pounds in 2020. I competed the other day at 160 pounds, so I've lost 10 pounds of muscle.
Yeah. Shame, isn't it? And I was actually, I was the same weight from my bodybuilding to physique from 2021. So even steroids don't work, guys. Like, we're the worst bodybuilders. We made no progress.
Yeah, to be fair, it's a good example, because people do always think, like, oh, I should be this amount heavier. Again, Alex, who I've prepped this year, Alex Ross was like, I want to be this on stage. And I was like,
yeah, you can be. You might be, like, you might be wicked at that. Or you could be actually too lean, or you could be fat.
You could be out of shape. Yeah. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter what your body weight is on stage, unless you have to get down to a certain weight cap for a class. But even then, I wouldn't be pushing or pulling weight up or down based on your best look.
No.
I'd just be like, obviously people that, like, have to pull off loads of weight for classic, like, just do open. Yeah. People who are trying to pull down into the lightweights, and it's like, you're probably just better off in the middleweights, even if you're at the lower end, because it's where your best look
is
going to
be. It's where everything is, and it's a collective. I got down in the men's physique shows, I was 98 and I was on stage at 102, because it was like, I've got no fullness in my delts, I don't look like a men's physique guy. I then got down to 95 as a bodybuilder. So, and
I was 171 at that FitX show.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have said, like, oh, you could have been load sharper. Like, no, I wasn't shredded, but it was like, I had a good look for men's physique.
Yeah, good look for men's physique.
And I've pulled off the weight of the FitX to my lightest weight, it's like 14 pounds down, like a stone off.
Yeah.
It was mental. Yeah. Like, so, it's hard to say exactly how much muscle I've gained, but I wouldn't be basing that off, like, body weight. I've definitely grown, because my performance is much better. Visually, I'm much better. But it's impossible for me to say, I've gained X amount of muscle. It's hard to say.
I absolutely hate this question. And I'm sorry. It's not the guy who's asked it, but he's asked, how to keep a healthy relationship with a bodybuilding lifestyle and ped usage? Just don't be a Balenty girlfriend. Like, oh yeah, sorry, I hit Sanaya 3 times a week. Like, just whenever, right, whenever I pin, I just have to hit her.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like,
it's part of the ritual.
She understands. It's like, oh, it's Monday, oh, pin day, oh, I'm gonna be so aggressive for the rest of the day. Stuff like that is awful. No. How to keep a healthy relationship? Well, you almost have to set the foundations of a good relationship, regardless of bodybuilding and likewise, like, pets. Like, if you get on, you get on. That's what I'd always look upon. And then if anything, like, I think bodybuilding can be at times pretty, like, selfish. And unfortunately, there are times where we said in part one about, like, just wanting that normality, like, in a prep towards the latter end, you're probably not going to have the energy to chat about how your girlfriend's day at work was or what her mum's doing, like, on the weekend, because you don't have the energy for that. And that's, if anything, when the other part of the relationship, the other side, kind of understands that, in a weird way. And it is selfish, but it's only temporary. And that's how something is. And likewise, bodybuilding, when you're in an off season, there's probably going to be times where you know, you're tired, you get in from a gym session, you're knackered. It's part of the game. But also, at the same time, like, bodybuilding shouldn't be so invasive towards the point where it's, like, impacting a relationship negatively. And if it is, it probably wouldn't have worked regardless, because I guarantee the girl's probably going to do, if she bodybuilds or not, she might have some things that might, like, let's say, for example, how do you have a relationship with a girl of OnlyFans? Well, you wouldn't get with a girl of OnlyFans. And if your girlfriend starts doing OnlyFans, if your girl starts doing OnlyFans, then it's an issue. Like, well, bring that up, have a chat.
Yeah.
You know,
communication is the most important thing.
Chat,
like,
about it.
That's, and something that is, again, like, with me and Shannon, like, I wasn't communicating, but there wasn't anything that was going wrong.
No.
Like, it, but because I wasn't communicating with her, because I was just digging.
We are definitely getting Shannon on this podcast when Finn's in his off season now.
We just didn't.
We are 100%
in that. We just didn't speak.
Yeah.
But for me, that was fine because it was like, well, I'm busy and I've got stuff to be doing. I didn't even like contemplate it in like a, and again, not in like a negative way, not in like I don't care, but it was like I just wasn't even thinking because I wasn't thinking about how I felt. It was just like what I needed to do. So then, like afterwards, when like me and Shanna had a bit of a chat, and it was, and she was never like, you didn't do this or you didn't do that or anything like that, but she was just like, well, yeah, you've not been yourself. Yeah, you've been like, you like the shell of you is there, but like actual you wasn't there.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I was like, you should have just told me. But, like, if she'd have spoke to me like a month before and said, like, are you all right? Because you're not like, you're not even looking at anyone when you're talking. You're going to the gym and like your hood's up all the time. Like, if she'd have spoke to me, I'd have been like, maybe I would, maybe I wouldn't. Probably I wouldn't. I'd probably been like, shut the fuck up. Like, I wouldn't have said that, obviously. Shut but I'd have been
bang.
Like,
oh, sorry,
I'd have been like, yeah, I'm fine. I'd be like, no, I'm all right. I'm just prepping. I'm fine. Yeah. Like, that's how I'd have been.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, okay, maybe she's onto something here and I'm maybe, like, I need to pull back a bit. Maybe I'm getting worse.
That's where Reese's words of wisdom came into play. And the last thing about ped usage, if you're a bell end and you take gear, you're probably going to be more of a bell end. If you're not a bell end and you take gear, you probably won't be a bell end.
Like, so you're obviously a bell end in the first place.
Yeah, so you're probably a bell end in the first place. And unfortunately, you're blaming gear. Like, that's the harsh reality. Like, and I'm convinced by that. So
yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
I've got quite a lot of questions.
Go through it.
How much more time have we got?
15 minutes, do you reckon?
Okay.
That cool with you?
Yeah.
Sound.
Joe Carefit.
One of my clients.
Would Finn be better than Reese if he was on gear? Yeah.
Loads better.
Loads better. Better than him now. Yeah, what do you mean? What do you mean? Would I be better if I was on gear?
So much better.
What do you determine as better? Talking about bodybuilding? What are we talking about?
Yeah. Like,
talking about life?
Mental
Talking
health.
About football?
Football you would be. Mate, you'd have like the well needed physicality. You'd be a box, you'd be like Michael Essien in the middle of the park with more tech. Yeah, right. What's your main focus this off season? How long have you been in off season for? Both of us technically. Main focus, more muscle everywhere, I guess. Yeah, like more muscle everywhere. It's not really like a main focus. Just
we did speak about how long we think we'll be.
Yeah, and then when it comes to me, like, it really depends. Like I said to Finn the other day, like if I was to do a classic show for next year and just kind of chill out and enjoy the process of just going through a prep, I could make classic weight next year. If I was to prep come like January, Feb, I reckon I could definitely make weight. It might be a bit of a struggle, but I would be able to do it. It would be doable. That's a potential option if it comes to New Year and I'm like, yeah, you know what, I fancy prepping as an actual like bodybuilder slash classic physique guy. But then like long term, like I'll eventually outgrow classic. Like I'm already pretty much at the cusp now where like if I was to push hard for another 6-7 months, I probably would be over that weight cap. So if I was to then, let's say, manage a pro card, which I don't think I would be close next year in classic, I need another year. So it's like if I had unlimited weight, I reckon I could be very good in classic, but I'd have to get a pro card for that. And I don't think with the weight cap that I have relative to my physique, it would be doable. So then it's like, well, I go to open, and then it would be a case where if I was to go to open, I need a hell of a lot more size. So I'd have to be like legitimately like where I'm at now with like probably an extra 10 kilos of muscle, which last time it took me like 18 months to add that, like about 7 to 8 kilos. So I'd probably need 22, 24 months. That'd be a 2-year off season. So that would be on stage again, like either really late 2025 or early 2026. Which is probably more realistic, which it's funny because I think, oh my God, I'd be so old, but I'd be like 26, which is...
It's my age.
Yeah, like not that old. I'm still very young in this game. So it's like, it's one of those where like there's thoughts of me thinking, yeah, I'd like to go in a prep and just step on stage again, actually prep as a bodybuilder. And there's temptation for next year and there's a chance, but at the same time, I'll see how things are. If my training's good, I'm enjoying the process and stuff like that where I'm at now and I'm growing, like I've never looked the way I've looked at this weight. Like I'm in a really, really good spot. One of the questions was like, I don't know what exactly it was. What is it? Yeah, you've had the best rebound I've ever seen post show. And it's like, it's not really a rebound. It's just, I wasn't a bell end after my show. I slowly built everything up.
Found some photos from before. It's like, people probably just found you like.
Yeah, from like where my stage weight is. And like, it was from my stage look. And they think, oh my God, you've blown up. When in reality, it's like, no, I've always had a good amount of muscle. Like, it's just how it is.
I just look like death at the end.
Yeah, you just die. And I definitely died towards the end of my prep. Like, I looked awful towards the end. Comparison to what I could have if it was a bit handled better towards the end. So yeah, part of the game. But either way, next year maybe, if not it'll be 2026, I'll imagine. So yeah, we'll see. What about yourself, mate? 10 year, the Finn's retiring actually. The second he's done, this is his last prep, guys. Finn retires as a bodybuilder.
It's too difficult.
Yeah.
No, I've said, I've got things that I want to focus on, like more so traveling, getting a house. We want to get a gym sorted.
Yes.
Like we've got.
Yeah, it's things like that, and it's like we said,
life
like,
focus.
If you were to say to me, like, right, I go for another prep next year, and I have to be like so restricted. I was this 6 months of this year, I've dieted. I dieted towards the back end. I did 2021 back end, start of 2023. I've had a year in the last three that I've actually had like normal. And I look at that and think, like, if you were to offer me, right, I compete as a classic guy next year and then do another prep the following year. Or in 2 years from now, I have a gym set up, I have a house, I've been away three or four times to places I want to go.
Yeah.
Probably choose that. I'd be like, especially when I'm young. Like, I'd be like, that makes way more sense. And I'd probably make more progress. And then when I compete again, I'd be like, oh, I'm actually fucking awesome. Than just doing this like every year and being like, oh, I'm more a little bit better.
I think for me, it'll be minimum 3 years, like, at least two to three years, maybe even like 4 or 5, like,
and then mate, you'll be knocking on the master's door for it.
There'll be no pressure on it. It'll be like, I'll just see when I think I'm good enough to be really, really good, like, because I think I'm pretty good now, like, and I can be so much better, but I think probably at least 2 years maximum, I'd say like 4 or 5. Just focus on, you know, life goals that I've got, things that I want to achieve, business, you know, continuing to grow, like with how our business has grown this past year, even the year before, like it's been mental. It's like, so, you know, we want to continue doing that. Obviously, like we say, we want to open up our own little gym, mainly for our own training, but also to, like, you know, branch that out to clients, and then in the long term make it like a public.
I think that's one thing in the last like couple of months that we've like kind of like locked in mentally.
I think because we've been at Be Modified and we've really liked that environment, we think we could do this.
Yeah, I think we could. Yeah, so.
I'm thinking, and obviously they asked about like off season, like what's your main focus? Like for me, it'll be, again, more muscle everywhere, enjoying training, really bringing up my lower body, bringing up my posterior shots. Not that they're bad, but at the minute it's like, again, and we knew it would be anyway, chest and arms, they're my strengths. Try and bring everywhere up to match those, really.
Yeah. Sound? All good? More questions for you?
How to handle post-prep and how you will handle your post-prep phase.
It's a really good one. I've got a real...
Kevin Kern.
I've got a reel coming out. I said it's already ready, but I've got like a post-show transition and touching upon like post-show transition and all that sort of jazz, because it is an important sort of factor and it's very individual.
It's more important than like the majority of the prep. It's a really important phase. I think people struggle with it a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Structure is one of the most important things, but at the same time, you need to chill out. Like, it's one of those where you need to have a lesser structure. You need to, if anything, probably drop down training frequency. You need to, like, let's say, take out things that stress the body while also enjoying yourself and allowing some flexibility, but additionally, without being a bellend. And, like, if you just blow up and eat a load of shit and put on 20 pounds of water within a week, that's not helping. You're not going to feel good. So time is not of the essence, but it's enough of the essence in a positive way of just giving yourself time and understanding it's going to take time to get out of that hole. I remember, like, my dick still wasn't working for, like, 6 weeks after my prep. And I was like, it's been 6 weeks. How am I still feeling naff? It wasn't sound till probably 8 to 10 months.
And you got to think 6 weeks in the grand scheme of things when you've dieted for 6 months. It's not.
No,
it's not.
And at 6 weeks, I was still very, very, very lean. Like, so it's all relative. And it's one of those where, if anything, you need to slow down, almost understand that even though you're thinking, I want to improve, that post-show transition is not the time to improve. Yeah, it's to set the foundations for an improvement phase to come.
I call it recovery phase.
But it's literally a case of dropping off stress, enjoying what you can, enjoying some flexibility, not being a bell end, but at the same time, having like some enjoyment, social occasions with loved ones, giving back to the people that you probably weren't like too, like, not going to say you weren't.
Didn't give them too much time.
Yeah, didn't give too much time. And setting yourself up for a successful phase to come. But unfortunately, everyone's going to deal with post-show differently. Some people respond really well. Some people are horrendous.
I think the main thing is people rushing everything.
Yeah.
They'll add in new movements, get injured.
Yeah.
They'll rush to gain weight and get fat too quick. Or
they'll have a food list on there, like when they've prepped, of everything they want to try. Thing you want.
I've literally said that to Shannon. Like I said the other day, I was like, oh, I'm looking forward to maybe having that. And then I was like, make sure, like I said, like don't write these down or anything, like, because I've said a few things and I was like, I almost want to make a list, but that is the last thing that I would ever do. Because if you make a list, you rush it. Oh my god, I've got to try this, I've got to try that.
You have
it's
unlimited just amount of time.
It's
for food.
Literally just food. Yeah. Like, you don't
There'll
need
be plenty
to
of social occasions that you can have food. There's plenty.
I would say as well, ramp your protein up. Yeah. So, like, if you think towards the back end of a prep, your protein's probably going to be not low, but it's probably going to be like moderate. You know, you're usually keeping food volume lower. You're usually sort of trying to save some calories wherever you can and trying to push carbs up where you can to load up. Protein's like moderate.
So I'd say push food up.
Push food up, but yeah, also like you could get away with a lot more protein just because it's going to help in terms of satiation. You're going to feel more full. Also, it's generally going to mean that you'll probably be burning some more calories anyway, just in terms of the body's sort of need to digest and utilize that protein. And it will hopefully reduce the risk of you going crazy with carbs and fats.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd obviously like we said, push food up. Don't be scared to push food up and fuel your training.
Yeah.
Be active as well. Like,
yeah, whenever you feel like you've eaten
loads, like go on a walk. Like, yeah, don't stop doing cardio or actually implement cardio back in if you have taken it out at the end.
If you have like a binge or overeat, don't then like the following day be like, I'm pulling my calories down, because you just want to find homeostasis of like, okay, I'm eating enough, I'm in a surplus, I'm gaining at a decent rate, and I can train more.
You just think, if you have overeaten a little bit, think, right, I'm going to use this for tomorrow's session.
Yeah.
Like, simple as that. Don't then think, oh, I'm going to undereat, and then, oh, now I feel guilty about it, and then I'm going to overeat again. Like, don't be having, like, high days, moderate days, low days, days where you feel guilty and you don't eat. Like,
I have
a set structure.
Yeah. I have the least discrepancy between training and non-training days when I'm, like, post-prep.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I just need the calories.
Yeah, and it's like, enjoyable to, like, on your rest days, you can
have a bit go out for a meal in
the evening or get a takeaway because it's going to carry over to the next training day. Yeah, like, it's not a bad idea to have your rest days close to your training day food.
I remember you, and it's something like, I remember, like, opening my eyes when you, with Noah last year, and you were, like, saying about post-show, and you were like, yeah, on your rest days, like, take out two meals every rest day for, like, the next week or two and just have an off-plan meal. And I was like, that's a good idea, that. Like, and that's something that, like, again, you don't really... You just
rest day off-plan meals as the last meal is something I really like to introduce for clients. Yeah. I think it works really well.
I've had it for clients as well.
Like, it means you're going to carry it onto a training day. Usually it carries on to two or three training days because you usually have two or three in a row. Whereas a lot of time people have an off-plan meal like Saturday night and it's like,
do you train on Sunday? Yeah.
No. Well, I'll have it Friday night. Well, cool, yeah, I'll have it Friday night. Then that carries into Saturday. Why not have it Sunday night?
Yeah.
And Sunday carries into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, let's say, if you train like pull, push, legs, rest, upper, lower, something like that. So, yeah, like that's pretty much that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good one. Right, that's that, guys. Hope everyone's enjoyed.
Hope you enjoyed all these different parts.
Yeah, this is the big catch-up. We will say we might be back in routine, but literally it will just depend on if it aligns on a Thursday and we have time. So we're not going to promise we're going to be back next week. We might be. We might not be. Don't message us. But as always, we appreciate you guys that watch, that's for sure. And once we're, let's say, both set in an off-season, I guarantee these will be back to weekly.
We'll be back to at least twice a week.
The thing is, and this is the thing, like, we deliver these podcasts more consistently than like 99% of podcasts. Like, there's guys that do podcasts and they do them every week. Yeah, they have 6 weeks a break for
however long, and
this is, if anything, just a bit of a new pre-season. We just don't have a
set structured break. Like, we could say, right, we're going to do 12 episodes, and then we're off for, then you know, we won't be back for 2 months. Then 12 episodes. That's like what most do.
Yeah, where we're just like, we'll do them every week, and we don't miss weeks. And then we all, like, we just fell out. I think I had a holiday. Finn was obviously battered. And then obviously, right now, it's like we're kind of cruising for Finn, where it's like he's the priority when it comes to, like, let's just do the week. And we don't know if we're going to train next Thursday. We'll see how things are. So we might be doing the next one. We might not. But hopefully you enjoyed. And hopefully you share it on your story. Hopefully everyone enjoys. Like, comment, subscribe.
Follow on the Spotify. Give us a rating. 5-star, please.
Yeah. Cool. Right. See you later, guys. Bye-bye.